Father, we bow down this morning, and Lord, those on their way or wherever they are, and pray your hand would be upon each of us to honor you and to be giving you all glory. And as we are in this Christmas season, when there's somewhat of a more openness to the world for the gospel, remembering Christmas is about something anyway, and so we thank you for that. Guide us this morning as we have time to open your word once again and then come to you in prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we're working our way on through the epistle of 1 John, we are in chapter 4 today, and we are reminded of love again and again. In chapter 4, I counted 24 times the word love. I think a couple of them is loved, ed, loved. 24 times in chapter 4 we see love. We see love more in this little epistle than we do in any other book in the Bible. It's 36 times, and so it's a really epistle of love, isn't it? And today we're going to be looking at the aspect of the Spirit. We're going to be looking at the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of error, and how to test the Spirit. We have the Spirit influencing us. We have, every believer has the Spirit inside of us, and yet we still are subject to false spirits all around us, and they can't have us as believers, but they can influence us and we can listen to them. So we will be looking at that. And then we'll be looking at knowing God through love in the last four or five verses today. So I want to begin with responsive reading again. We will be reading verses, the last verse in chapter 3, verse 24, and then the first 11 verses in the Spirit. And I've got the responsive reading in highlight, and I'll read the even numbered verses. And if you would join in on the responsively on the odd-numbered verses, that would be great. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. Notice that, by the way, he in him. That's him in us. We will see that a couple of times in here. That's probably more important than our inviting in him, is as he's inviting in us. And he in him, and by this we know that we abide in us by the Spirit that he has given us. Now to test the spirits, going to verse 1.
Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world.
By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God.
And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world.
You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world.
They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them.
We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error.
Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God.
He who does not love does not know God, for God is love.
In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him.
In this is love, not that we love God, wow, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another.
Amen. All right, here ends the reading. Have a seat. So we see here in verse 24, he who keeps the commandments, he who keeps the commandments. Of course, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So we all say we love the Lord, but then we look at how do we keep the commandments, how obedient are we? And maybe there's a little more of a question there. But we read that he who keeps my commandments, he who keeps his commandments, I should say, abides in him, that's in God. And then that reverse of that, which is, I mentioned, so important, he in him. So if we keep it, he abides in us, and he has said, he who had John 14:21, for example, he has said, he who has my commandments and keeps them and is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So we have that promise of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit abiding in us and loving us. We already have the Holy Spirit abiding in us if we are a believer. Now, moving on now, we have the Spirit in us. He abides in us by the Spirit. So we're talking about the Holy Spirit here, but we have other spirits out there. So now we have about six verses here of testing. Are the spirits of God, or are they of error? What is their testimony? Beloved, do not believe, we read in verse 1, every spirit. Do not believe every spirit, or stop believing every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. 1 Thessalonians says, test all things, hold fast to what is good. And we move on to 2. By this, you know the Spirit of God. By what? That every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Now, that is more than just noticing the word Jesus Christ. We break that down a little bit. Jesus there is Jehovah is salvation. So it's just not a name apart from who he is. And Christos means he's the anointed one or the Messiah. We have to have Jehovah is salvation. The Messiah has come in the flesh. Now, the cults do not teach that. All the cults will diminish the importance of Jesus Christ. Now, in the days this was written, the Gnostics had already come into the church within the first 60 years of the church, spreading the false belief that Jesus was not really a man. He came as a spirit. He didn't really have a man. He couldn't come as a man because there's fleshly. A man is sin, flesh is his sin, and so they didn't want that, so they just deny that he came in the flesh. And John is writing, anybody that does not teach that Jesus is, now it's not the Jesus of the Mormons. Jesus of the Mormons is the brother of Lucifer. Jesus of the Jehovah's Witnesses is the archangel. So they will talk about Jesus, but it's the wrong Jesus. So it's Jesus of Nazareth, obviously. And it is Jesus who Jehovah is salvation. Any other Jesus does not have salvation in them. And he's the Messiah, has come in the flesh. So that's the first test. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. The method of teaching here is always so clear. He tells us one way, and then he tells us not is the other way, the opposite way. So if they do not confess that, they're not. And when they do not confess it, that means they're not of God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, Antichrist, here is a term that comes from John. It's not, there's a lot of names for the Antichrist, but this one is kind of stuck with us. And so it's kind of used more or less as indicative of the tribulation coming. And the Antichrist with a capital A is the true Antichrist or the big Antichrist coming and in the Great Tribulation. And so we don't know who that is. We'll never know who that is as a believer, because that won't happen until after we're out of here. So don't be worried about trying to figure out who that is. There are antichrists all around us. The anti has two meanings, as you know. One is against, and the other is instead of. So that some of the cults are really not against Jesus Christ. They're just saying that he's not the main one. The Muslims will say, "Oh, he's fine, but he's just a prophet." So it's instead of. It's in Allah's instead of, right? So the Antichrist, which you have heard from coming, and now already is in the world. So we have a lot of little Antichrists have. This was written 2,000 years ago. They were there then. They're still here now. Then we have an emphasis here on verse 4 of the believers, you believers of God, calling them little children, have overcome them. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Now, that statement is true in a lot of ways because it's saying Jesus Christ is greater than Satan, right? That's true in every way. But in this particular context here, it says that we have overcome the false spirits or those who are professing to be the Antichrist. We have overcome them because his message and everything about him is greater than the other side. So that's the second test in a way there, that the Holy Spirit's influence in the revelation to every believer. Verse 5, they, which stands for false teachers, they, false teachers, are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world. John 3:31 reads, he who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. So, therefore, they speak of the world and the world hears them. There's always a big following for the Antichrist. You'll notice they're very popular, very charismatic probably, and have a lot of followers, and they love to have their itchy ears itched, tingled, and so forth. And the world hears them. Jesus would say in his high priestly prayer, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So the good news that we hold to is hated by the world. The world loves the false Christ. They want to dumb it down, or they want to dilute it, right? They don't want to hear about heaven and hell. They want to hear about heaven, but they don't want to hear about hell. Verse 6. We, again, believers, are of God. And then he is a capital H because it's in the first of the sentence. It's not about God. It's about those listeners. The listeners who know God hear, and he who is not of God does not hear us. So what we're saying is, whenever we're proclaiming the word of truth and in our lives and so forth, those who are of God hear us, and those who are of God don't hear us. You know, Jesus said what? By my sheep know my voice, right? Those who are not my sheep don't know my voice or even hear it, really, without the Spirit. So we are of God who knows God hears us. He is not of God who does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So there's the separation between the truth and the error. One will hear it who is of God, and the one who is not of God will not hear it. They'll listen to the spirit of error. John 14:17, Jesus said, the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Wow, I love that. Isn't that something? Just think of that. A two-way thing there. He knows us, we know him, and we dwell with him, but he dwells with us. He wants to dwell with us. The Holy Spirit already is dwelling with us, and he wants your whole heart, and if you give him your whole heart, he will dwell in it. Now, verse 7, we move on into knowing God through love. We know him through his Spirit, and we'll know him through the fruit that gives us in our life, and that's love. So verse 7 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So if you're not born of Him, you won't love and you won't know Him. So what that really says, I think, is that we cannot love anybody apart from having God in us to have that love come forth, because we don't have in us that ability to love anybody. We can like people, but truly loving people means you put them ahead of yourself, right? Jesus said, of course, there's a new commandment in here, and that the standard of loving in the New Testament is not just loving people as you love yourself, it's loving them as you have been loved. So that's a much higher standard here. But that can only happen if we have the Holy Spirit working in our lives and we are a child of His. If we're a child of His, we can do anything that He wants us to do. Not that we can, but He can do through us anything He wants to do. And then, of course, the main thing here is to love one another. So if you want to kind of look at how well you're really doing with the Lord, don't look at yourself so much in terms of understanding and committing and all that, which is very important, but look at how much love comes forth from you to others. And this, everywhere in this epistle, all of these 36 times, it's always agape love. That's the only love that's mentioned here. Of course, we know we have 7 words in the Greek for love, and 3 of them in the Bible, the eros, that's the erotic stuff, is not in the Bible really, but that's the one that we have in Hollywood and all, that's the lust. Then we have the phileo, that's the brotherly love. Think of Philadelphia, although Philadelphia isn't a very good example of that, so lawless and all. But phileo is you like to be with people and do with them what you like and they like. That's brotherly love. The agape is on the extreme there. That's godly love, total love. That's loving without expecting or wanting anything in return. And so there's always a good test when you do something for somebody and they turn around and don't even give you recognition. Kind of hard to take, isn't it? Then you think, well, I guess I didn't do that out of agape love. I did that out of maybe phileo love or whatever. So knowing God through love. Verse 8, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. You know, we've been seeing a lot of hatred all through the book of Samuel's, first and second, and how hatred is just such a killer. I mean, that is just so bad. And that's exact opposite of love, isn't it? Hatred. Verse 9, in this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world. So Romans 5:8 is a good example of that. But God has demonstrated His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So you see the cross right in the middle of that. That's the demonstration of love that God has for us. What love? What great, 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 great love. Unbelievable love. He sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live eternally through Him. So as we pray, just remember, there's nothing as important as the eternal prayers, by far, because most of the other things we pray for are really things about are going to pass away or they're this earth or whatever, you know. But He has begotten His only Son into the world that we might live eternally through Him. Of course, we know the John 16, a good 25-word summary of that, a beautiful, beautiful statement. Verse 10, in this is love. Not that we loved God. That's amazing, isn't it? Because don't I kind of ask myself, Lord, how much am I loving You? Am I really loving You enough? I mean, and of course the answer is probably always not compared to the way He loves us. So in this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the mercy seat or the propitiation for our sins. Wow. Just dwell on that just a little bit. He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. I was reminded this week, I heard one pastor make this statement on testimonies. Testimonies are really great, right? Your own personal testimony. But we need to be careful to keep it in the right context and the right thing. Everybody's testimony is exactly the same. I was a jerk. I didn't know God. And He saved me and I'm born again. That's your testimony. Whether you have, you know, been a drug user for 50 years and killed 27 people and then God saved you. Sin is sin, and we're all born of Adam, so we all sin. So every one of us has that testimony of seeing our life transformed through what He has done for us. And I think that is it's just so true. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And then the final verse here in this little section for today, beloved, if, now that's not if really in the terms of possibility, that's in the class position of since, so just put since in there, it really more accurately describes what's going on here. Beloved, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. If God so loved us, now He's loved us so tremendously, right? So tremendously that we can't even fathom a little bit of it, but a little bit of it. But how can we then, since we begin so much, love one another? Now, we ought to be able to love all believers just because of the fact that we know how much He loves us. And if He loves that other person just as much as He loves me, you know, that person isn't so bad, are they? I don't think so, because you have to say, well, if that person is a jerk, then that means he loves that jerk just as much as He loves this jerk, I guess. But in this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us. Titus 5, chapter 3, verse 5, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out abundantly through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it goes on from there, but love. And this is love, not that we loved, but that He loved us. And beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Well, Father, we keep coming back to love here, and we'll continue in this little epistle as the emphasis is on that. Help us to understand. Help us to really ponder and sense Your love. As we come on this Christmas season, and we know Jesus had to come the first time as a man in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago approximately. And He came and He lived here, giving us such a great example for a few years, and then had a short-term ministry of maybe 3.5 years. And then He gave Himself up, put to death, crucified on a cross, dying, paying the price of our sin. And 3 days later, victorious over sin and death, rose again, was resurrected, thereby being the first fruit of those being resurrected. And because He lives, we live if we believe in Him because of that great gift. So He is, Lord, You paid the price of our sin, You wiped our slate clean, and You have given Your righteousness and put in place of that. So we have that righteousness from You, each and every believer. So how thankful are we? How we want to praise You. We don't know the date that You came. You didn't tell us that, but we know You came. We know the date that You were crucified. That is in about 6-7 books in the Bible. Help us to remember what this season is all about, and help us to be fruitful as we go forth during this season. So this morning we want to pause a bit now and just pray together as You would lead us in our little family, and just thank You for Your faithfulness. So lead us now as we bow down to You in Jesus' name. As we come kind of to the end of the hour here, just a verse comes to mind, very familiar, but it should encourage us. 2 Corinthians chapter 2:14. Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph. Do you believe that? Are you thankful?
Always.
In Christ, triumph in Christ and through us. Makes manifest or reveals or diffuses what? Through us. The fragrance of His knowledge in every place. Is that happening in us? If not, there's no excuse that it's not, because He's done it all. We go on to read, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Listen to this, of course, for me, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant.
Amen.
You don't have to pray for that missionary in India or China or wherever necessarily. That's good. But we all are. We're all ministers. Every one of us. He has made us sufficient. He's not held anything back. Made us ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, not legally, but of grace, of the Spirit. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So, Lord, we are kind of just fraught with not knowing how to pray very much. We cry out for You for these things. You do this, You do that, and You do everything else. You've already done it all. There's nothing You haven't done for us. There's nothing You've withheld. There's nothing more that we need. And with Your Spirit sealing off Satan from having access to us, there's no excuse for any of us veering off into spirits of error. Now, we may veer off, but we should be pulled right back by You. There's no way that a believer can be demon-possessed. I believe that's what the Scripture says. If a demon, somebody says they're demon-possessed, they're either not a believer, or if they say that, then they're not really possessed, one of the two. But Satan cannot enter where you are, and you're in us. Promise to every believer. We've been sealed, bought with a price. So, Lord, we are uniquely gifted now by You to be the witness that You would have us to be, whatever that is. Probably prayer is the strongest. Our life is very strong. Is our life showing You without us ever opening our mouth? And then there's also the way and the place to open our mouths too. So, Lord, we just thank You. We thank You that You love us so much, Lord. And we thank You for this season that we're coming into now, that we really celebrate Your coming the first time. And Lord, soon will be the second time. And then the second stanza of Joy to the World will actually be real. So we're praying for that as well, Lord. And just wanted to close today as we think about the holy city and holy night and so forth, and just to sing this song here for Oh Holy Night. So let's rise and sing this together.
Oh Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul felt its birth. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, night divine. Christ was born. Oh, night divine. Oh, night when Christ was born. us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name. Fall on your knees, oh hear the angel voices, oh night divine, oh night when Christ was born, oh night.
Did you catch those words at the beginning of that second verse? Truly, he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it keeps coming back of your great love for us and how we're to love one another. And if we are truly yours, we will be obedient to you and keep your commandments. And we will be making disciples, as you tell us to, and proclaiming the good news of the gospel as well. So, Lord, just help us to have a willing and ready heart to show up. As we ask you, what would you have me to do, moment by moment, and then have that ear to hear you, and then to respond. So thank you for meeting us here this morning, and bless those who are not here, and would you be with them and keep them. And, Lord, may there be a very profitable season for each of us, ministry-wise. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.